I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Peter Berkowitz, the Hoover Institution, writing his column at Real Clear Politics. And we introduce William N. Bowden, just hired, as I understand it, the University of Texas at Austin, as Executive Vice President and Provost, in a position to make changes. And the changes, we've identified some of the things that need changes. Does he have the muscle at UT? Is he backed up? And where is he going, to your understanding, Peter?
Well, first I want to say that you ask what is to be done. Start is to hire William N. Bowden. The next step would be to hire 1,000 more William N. Bowdens, but we've only got one. There's only one to go around. But Will is a wonderful model of what we should be looking for in academic leaders. He's actually been hired as both executive vice president and provost at the University of Texas. This indicates that the University of Texas at Austin, the flagship state university of the great state of Texas, the Republic of Texas, has enormous confidence in Will, and who is a friend, and they should have enormous confidence in him. He's a distinguished scholar of international affairs. He's an admired teacher. He's been an institution builder at universities. He built up the Clements Center for the Study of International Relations at Texas several years ago. He was at the University of Florida for a couple of years. And from my point of view, absolutely vital. Will, even though he's a scholar of international relations, or I should say, he's a great scholar of international relations because he has a keen understanding of the aim, the structure and content, and the spirit of liberal education. And I believe Will bring that to all aspects of his responsibilities at the University of Texas, starting with reform of the curriculum and his oversight over hiring, retention, development, and tenure.
I point to an article that is highlighted in Peter's column at National Affairs, Restoring the Academic Social Contract, by William N. Bowden. And it has this sentence that would be fundamental to any enterprise. The crisis is one of legitimacy and trust. Wow, Peter, how did they get into this mess? And I have to say, when I read that sentence, I think I'm guilty. I don't trust them, and I don't regard they're legitimate.
Now, Peter, go ahead.
Peter, you and I parted ways when I spent just a few years when I was a teenager and just a little bit more than that at a university campus. I've not been on one other than accidentally getting lost ever since. Now, what's important is that you've spent time on all manner of teaching. Legitimacy and trust, that is a condemnation. Is it useful to say to that, to universities, this is what's happened to you? Does that move them to ask, what am I going to do?
Well, first I want to say, and I say this with due respect, I must mildly correct you. You said you were guilty of distrusting these colleges and universities. I say that you rightly distrust them because they are guilty of a number of offenses which have rightly lost your trust. And we've discussed them already today and in many of our conversations. They have been censoring free speech. They have been denying students accused of wrongdoing, especially in cases of sexual misconduct. They've been denying them basic due process rights. You cannot constitute an institution of learning unless you have presumptions of innocence and give everybody fair hearings. And they have been hollowing out the curriculum. When they haven't been politicizing the curriculum, they use the undergraduate curriculum to teach courses on their favorite subjects, rather on the subjects that students need if they are to become responsible citizens. So I believe the universities have well earned your distrust.
To learn to trust them again would mean that they have to pay attention, because Mr. N. Bowden gives us Gallup poll. I don't need to read these numbers. Everybody knows how bad it is, and except maybe the universities. Now, let's follow Hollywood's advice. Follow the money. Does the money proceed to flow no matter how bad it gets? Do they have confidence that a few donors will go along with their assumptions of the world and they don't have to worry about everybody else?
I think it's fair to say, John, that they had that confidence. They were keenly confident in that way until round about mid-October 2023, when, as a result of their outrageous behavior, their feckless toleration of lawless students celebrating barbaric attacks on Israeli civilians, at that moment, wealthy donors to our elite private universities began to say, and say in public, no more. We're not supporting institutions which are home to such conduct. Moreover, the Trump administration, the second Trump administration, is the first presidential administration to take university misconduct seriously. It is putting pressure on universities. It is invoking Title VI. Title VI forbids universities that receive federal funds from discriminating based on race, color, or national origin. But what is a diversity, equity, and inclusion program but a program that discriminates, that allocates benefits and burdens at the university based on race, color, and national origin? So I think we've seen in the last 2 years or so, almost 2 years, a kind of awakening of two groups who provide the lion's share of the funding for our universities: wealthy donors and the federal government, who want to say it's not business as usual anymore.
Are there meetings to assess where to go next? Are there enough like-minded scholars that they can actually form a unit? William N. Bowden right now is writing boldly. I see what he writes, but he's one man, and that would be easy to target if he has no support. Does he have support?
He does have some support. There is no doubt that the University of Texas knew what it was getting in Will Inboden. He had been at Texas. He was lured away for a couple of years to help with a wonderful program at the University of Florida, the Hamilton School for Classical and Civic Education. He's a prominent scholar. He is an institution builder. So this is not the case of sneaking into a position of great power. The university, like I said, knows what it is getting, and I believe he will have the wind at his back to make reforms. Now, that's to say that the top echelon of the university will support him. My guess is that the majority of University of Texas faculty, I could be wrong, but my guess is that they're not so very eager to have their university reformed. So Will Inboden is going to have to be shrewd, and he's going to have to be prudent, and he's going to have to pick his battles. The University of Texas is a huge institution, but I'm quite hopeful that Provost Inboden can turn his own tenure as provost and executive vice president and the University of Texas into a model of reform for other institutions throughout America.
A minute left. That's all you need. The American nation was founded on an idea of liberty. Is that taught?
Rarely. And this, the principles on which the nation was founded and the best in American constitutional traditions actually should be at the center of a liberal education. Two things we want from our universities: one, that they produce scientific research that benefits the nation, and second, that they prepare students for the rights and responsibilities of freedom. Our universities are not doing that well. I think Will Inboden will help the University of Texas do it much better.
Peter Berkowitz, the Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.